This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 3, 2021. Requiem Mass in the Octave of All Saints by Father William Doc Holliday.
Come, O blessed of my Father. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
On All Souls and throughout the week, speak of the necessity of what we do in the suffrages. And I speak of the suffrages in different ways and emphasize different things about them. And generally speaking, almost every time I speak about the holy sacrifice of the Mass that is offered for the holy souls. And I don't just mean Masses for the dead. I'm talking about every single Mass that we celebrate. Every single Mass that you assist, the prayers for the dead are an integral part of that Mass that is referred to as the memento of the dead, that remembrance of those who have gone before us that are not in heaven beholding the beatific vision, but in the church suffering. This is de fide. It is of our faith. You must believe this to be a Catholic, that there are three manifestations of Holy Church. One church in three different places. The church militant here on earth, the church triumphant in heaven, and the church suffering. Yes, that is a thing, the church suffering, and as I said, it is de fide. God has given us power to come to her aid, that church suffering, and to do her good. Why do we think that we do good things for members of the church militant? Why do we think we come to each other's aid and do each other good by our prayers and suffrages? And we don't think that our brothers and sisters who are in the church, who are going to heaven, but are yet undergoing purgation for their sin, why do we think that we don't do that? I don't think we even think about it much anymore. This is a travesty because it is one of the church's primary responsibilities. And Holy Church takes it so seriously that she does it at every single celebration of the Mass. One of the commentaries that speaks of the Mass said, in every Mass, mention should be made of them, the dead. Thereby the fresh succor is procured for these of her children who are all still detained in the place of expiation. That one line in there, thereby fresh succor may be given them. Every time we come to Mass, we offer renewed prayers for the suffering souls in purgatory. Why do we think that once is enough? If you look at our Lord Jesus Christ, once enough? Is once ever enough for any benefit or blessing that he gives us? Absolutely not. Once is never enough. And he expects us to understand that once is never enough. How many times do I have to forgive my brother for sinning against me? 70 times 7. He doesn't mean 490. 7 is the number of perfection. So you perfectly, the number 7, perfectly times 10. This is what our Lord expects of us. Well, I went to their funeral Mass. Isn't that enough? You had the Eucharist at your first communion too. Is that enough? And oh, be down the door and try to get to the Eucharist as much as we can, or should, to get to the Eucharist as much as we can. And even the other sacraments, we renew our baptismal vows periodically. You know, that cover the baptism and our confirmation. People renew their wedding vows. There is nothing just once. Once isn't just enough. Okay, we honor God by the number of times we do, and we offer these suffering souls in purgatory fresh succor, fresh help every time we come to Mass. When we hit that part, be particularly attentive. Even if it's in the traditional Latin Mass when you don't hear it, you should be following along in your hand missal. You should be, when we get to the part for the dead, before Mass starts, that should be one of the preparatory things that you do. That should, every single Mass, you should come in there. The other intentions that you have, but always, okay, when we hit the memento of the dead, to whom am I going to offer this? For whom am I going to offer this? This is what we should be doing. This is our responsibility as the Holy Church. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough that we say about the dead in every Mass? How come we need a week? Got to give Pope Francis credit where credit is due. I like his extending this whole thing for a month. But on this next week, when we can really focus on these indulgences that we can gain for the dead, as I said last night in my homily, some souls may be released, but it doesn't really matter so much about them being released. It is just some matter of help that we can give them while they're enduring what they're going through right now. You know, in that memento of the dead in every Mass, when we speak of the dead, and we're speaking of our faithful dead, we're not speaking about everybody. We speak of those who are sealed with the sign of faith, who sleep the sleep of peace. We cannot, at that point in the Mass, pray for infidels, people who are not of the faith. You can do it mentally, but it's about these folks, sealed with the sign of faith. What is that, sealed with the sign of faith? That is your baptism, first and foremost, and your confirmation that perfects your baptism. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about baptized Catholics when we speak right there. This is why a lot of people ask this question. You can offer a Mass intention for a Protestant or a very lapsed Catholic. Even the lapsed Catholic fall under this category. The Protestants, a Jewish friend or something like that. We cannot have a public Mass for them. You're not allowed to have a public Mass for them because they're not of the faith. They didn't want anything to do with the Catholic Church while they were living. The Catholic Church can do nothing because the Catholic Church didn't have any jurisdiction over them while they were alive. What makes us think that she has any jurisdiction over them when they're dead? I mean, we don't even have jurisdiction over our own faithful when they're dead. This is reality of things. So we say that, seal with sign of faith, sleep the sleep of peace. I like the way it's worded as it goes. For those and all that rest in Christ, and all those that rest in Christ. There are people that rest in Christ we don't know. We don't know their spiritual condition. We don't know what happened with the Holy Spirit with them right at the point of death. That's what we pray for them. But again, we can't have public Mass intentions for them because we do something very special for faithful people, those who are sealed with the sign of faith and who sleep the sleep of peace. Sleeping the sleep of peace. Really kind of harped on it last night, and we should, the pains of purgatory. It is a place of burning. It is a place of darkness. It is a place where there is no sweet peace. But then why do we say sleep the sleep of peace if they might be in purgatory? Because you can be at peace even in times of tremendous turmoil. Ask any military veteran who's seen combat and ask them about a sense of peace. Their faith can give them a sense of peace, but are they in the midst of combat? May they be horribly wounded or killed still? Yes, they may. They have that specter in front of them, but they have a certain sense of peace. The souls suffering in purgatory don't have a certain sense of peace. They have a whole lot more peace than you do because they know they're going to heaven. They know it. They don't even need faith anymore. They don't need that theological virtue. They don't need to have faith. They know they're going to heaven. This is why they sleep the sleep of peace, these who have been sealed with the sign of faith, or sealed with the sign of faith and sleep the sleep of peace. They know they are saved by Christ Jesus. They know that they're going to have the beatific vision someday. None of us know that. Again, stand up here and say, none of us are sure of that. We hope, we have faith. They don't need that. They know they're going to heaven, but they are still in purgation. This is why we say what we do for them, that we pray that they would have some sense of refreshment, of light, and of peace. Again, purgatory is a place that is a place of purgation, a cleansing. And how is it cleansed? We read in Corinthians, how are our works cleansed? By fire. The stubble will be burned up. The dross will be brought to the top. It's hot. That's the bottom line. This is why we ask for some sense of refreshment for them. It is a place of darkness. It is a place of darkness. It is scary. And we ask that they be given just a little bit of light, like when our Lord visits on the occasion when he does, or he sends his holy angels down there as a succor for them as they endure. Because guess what? Your guardian angel is your guardian angel until you get into heaven. He will accompany you there, and he will come visit you while you're in purgatory. We ask that this happens when we ask for a bit of light, and then that they will ultimately, they will get some sense increased of that peace that they feel in knowing that they're going to go to heaven, but that it's getting closer. This is what we ask for them. Okay, so when we say it at every Mass, when we should be being attentive to it at every Mass, this is that freshness. We ask that it happens again and again. If you go to two Masses a day, different Masses, you go to three Masses a day, and there are some people around here who do. They go to three Masses between the Vigil Mass and Sunday. Every single time they go to Mass, might not be able to receive communion every single time they go to Mass, but they can pray this prayer every single time they go to Mass. And for the loved one or for whomever they intend that Mass, when it comes to this, they feel that. It's kind of interesting. Even in the Mass itself, the prayer is ended through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns forever and ever. It's the only place in the Mass, because we got a lot of prayers in Mass, right? And a lot of them are closed that way. It's the only place in the Mass where you say those words and you bow your head when you say them. And that rubric is there, that law of how you celebrate Mass. That rubric is there because when that head is bowed by the priest at the end of that prayer, it's one more earnest pleading before Almighty God that what we have just prayed will be applied to the holy souls. This is, you always say, there is a reason for absolutely everything up here. What we wear, what we do, what we say, everything. And at that particular part in the Mass, it's the only prayer that ends like all the other prayers, but with the head bowed. This is another manifestation that emphasizes what we're doing. This is how important the Church feels, has always felt, about our suffrages for the dead. As I said earlier, the Church has no jurisdiction over the dead. We, pointed out last night, for those of you who are there, sorry, I have to hear it again, but for those of you who weren't, this is why the Masses for the dead, funerals, they're so different than other Masses. You don't kiss the altar. You don't cross yourself when Mass starts. You actually cross the book. You don't bless the water before the Mass. Because why? Because that demonstrates a jurisdiction over things. And when we're doing a Mass for the dead specifically, with that specific intention for that Mass, not just an intention for a dead person, but if the Mass is for the dead, if they're wearing black, if we're wearing black, this is what happens. We negate all these things that show that we have some kind of jurisdiction, some authority for the, after they're dead, we don't. Any of you walk back to the confessional any time this week, I absolve you from all your, and guess what? You should feel a tremendous sense of relief because you're absolved. When you go to heaven, I can't say, Lord, I absolve him from all of his sins. You could do it while he was there, not now. Now it's up to your suffrages. That's it. All you can do is pray for them. This is the importance that we have to understand. Kind of as a priest, it makes you feel kind of left out because we celebrate Mass, we forgive sins, given that authority by God, and the faithful pray. All of a sudden, it's a reality check that, hey, priest, you're just one of the faithful because guess what? Now you can't do what you did when they were there. You can still do exactly what you were constantly. You prayed for people while they were there. You pray for them when they're gone. It's kind of hurtful not to be able to do something extra for them as a priest, except this memento of the dead. this is what the church does. This is why you should be so attentive to those particular elements of the Mass. All of them are important, but this is something that I think we, because we don't like to think about death, we shouldn't shy away from it. We're all going to have it. It's all that's going to happen. Hey, second time I've been able to say in one Mass, yeah, everybody, should the Lord tarry. We've got to appreciate that, because they do. In the name of the Father, and Son, and of the Holy Ghost.